So we won't go over Psalm 4 again, but for the next 20 minutes, that's what we're going to be exploring together, Psalm 4. The Christian life is about knowing God. It is about hearing His voice. It's about obeying His commands. So let's begin with a question. In a world that is all about focusing on us, how do we hear God's voice? How do we know God's direction? And most importantly, how do we know that it's Him speaking? So first of all, my first point this evening, how do we hear the voice of God? The idea of speaking to God should not seem like something that is unattainable for us. How do we know this? Throughout the Bible, there are countless stories of God frequently speaking to His people, both men and women, from Adam in the first chapter to John in Revelation. God not only spoke, but He spoke clearly to anyone who would listen. The same God who spoke in the pages of the Bible is still speaking today. He is always speaking, we're just not always listening. Or we are still learning to hear His voice. And it's amazing how quickly we learn to recognize somebody's voice once we have spoken with them just a few times, as we did a few moments ago. Why? Familiarity breeds recognition. Here is an example. For those of us that have had a wee shot in the outdoors doing whatever, in any given outdoor pursuit that you and I might try for the first time, to understand where we are going, what we need to do, we need to be tuned to the voice of the person guiding us in that environment. Our well-being and our safety is completely dependent on that individual and our ongoing ability to hear their instruction. I'll give you a wee story. Myself, I went ice climbing last spring, in February I think it was, on a wee hill, not so wee, called Ben Vaan, just near Apple Cross, with a couple of the best mountaineers in Scotland. I'm not a climber myself, so the night before, I was very nervous. I was quite scared. I mean, serious climbing, ice axes, all the rest. Never done that before. And I didn't even have a clue where we were going. I had a wee look online. Okay, there's the mountain, there's the route where we're going. But throughout the entire day, myself and this other chap, who's also part of Sky Mountain Rescue, we just listened to the voice of our guide. Someone who's the same age as me, but who's been doing this for a couple of decades. And in definitely the most dangerous environment that I've ever been in my life, I felt safe the entire day. Sitting 200, 300 foot up on a wee ledge like this, sipping a cup of coffee, tied into the cliff, I was relaxed. I was at peace with the world. And on top of it all, the Lord blessed us with some good weather. But my point with that story is, the Lord is our divine guide, and all of us face difficult situations, scary situations on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly, annual basis. Are we listening to the voice of the guide? And this is what Psalm 4 explores. The same is true in our relationship with the Lord. To make it through life, we must learn to listen to the voice of God. Where do we start? When we speak to God and wait, we must expect Him to respond. I was praying with some of the leaders before the service, and one of them said, Lord, we expect You to do something in our midst tonight. When we listen to the Lord, we need to expect Him to respond. Two of the wee boys in a church in the north end of Skye that I'm part of there, when I say we, I'm talking under the age of 7. Recently, they led one of their friends to the Lord at school. So you don't have to go to Bible college, you don't have to be in some crazy theologian, etc., like me maybe. You just have to believe and listen to the voice of the guide, and the Lord is going to do exciting things. Verse 1 in Psalm 4, answer me when I call to You, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Expectation, that is the key. To following the direction of the One who knows and sees everything and who loves us and desires to see our lives lived for His glory. The key to hearing God is tuning our ears, the eyes of our heart, to His voice. Finding a good mobile signal on Sky, on the mainland, in this area, it's a challenge. We have to be on the right frequency, in the right location to make sure nothing's blocking the signal. It's exactly the same with the Lord. There's a lot of, as we heard in that wee video reflection, there's so much in our lives in this day and age that are keeping us from just spending that time with the Lord. If you're interested where that video is, just put into YouTube, "Can we auto-correct humanity?" That guy's actually got quite a few other great reflections there. Our ongoing daily challenge is therefore to put down as much of this stuff as possible that might block the signal to the one, Jesus Christ, who really knows what the next post on our lives is going to be. He knows it before we've even posted it. So our second point, the direction of God. In verse 2, God asks us, as we dwell on all the stuff in our lives, "How long will you people churn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods?" Like much of the Bible, Psalm 4 is one of those passages that can be difficult to understand and effectively then apply into our faith life. Again, the starting point is find out where the signal is coming from. Jesus makes that clear through his gospel that it is available to all people. As he indiscriminately flings his divine seed into the world, God wishes that no one should perish, but that all come to repentance. And yet, not everyone who hears the gospel message will receive it and be saved. How do we know that it is him speaking? As we know, we're bombarded with so many voices, so much information, overload. How do we know when it's God speaking? This is why we need to take words like Psalm 4 and speak them over our lives in faith. God created. God said, "Let there be." If you're a believer, you can create. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit within you. So when we speak the word of God over our lives, over our family, over our loved ones, even over our enemies, life is going to happen. Not because of us, but because of the power of the living and active word of God. In verse 4 and 5, Psalm 4, "Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord." The marketing lines for so much tech nowadays. Even saw when Dave was doing the wee baptism there, had his iPhone in his pocket. Typical youngster. And there we go, all his notes in his pockets. But the marketing lines for technology nowadays, they sound something like this. It's going to make you more connected. The latest phone will make you more connected. It will make you more intuitive. It will just make you better. So go and get it. But how long, the Bible says, will we love these delusions? As the videographer suggests in that reflection, maybe actually we're becoming more selfish, more separate from each other, and I add, more importantly, separate from God. We all need to get back to school with God. Not on a one-off, not the beginning of a term, but on a daily basis, into the school of the Holy Spirit. Is all technology bad? Of course it isn't. It can be used for the gospel, for the kingdom. But we need a balance. As the word says, let us search our hearts and be silent. When was the last time you or I did that? Have you ever done that? Do we have this healthy balance in our lives between reality and the virtual world that is a reality in this day and age we live in? Somebody once said this, "What we think about when we are alone is where our hearts really lie." Do not be disturbed by this, as you may be, but let us simply come before God again with that stuff and lay it all before him, as his word instructs, and then let him transform each of us from the youngest, like those wee six-year-olds who led their friend to the Lord in school recently. Let him transform us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Let us come before God afresh in our lives, in the beauty of his grace, and by the life-giving power of his Holy Spirit. Not in our own strength, our cleverness, our wisdom, how we dress, how we look, what church we go to, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all we have. That's all the first believers had. And that is why 12 guys changed the world. Over a third of the world's population is following Christ now because of those 12 very young men did. They just listened. They listened to the voice of the Lord. What could be more important in this life than spending time listening to the Lord. And just smash every kind of preconception you have of how to do that. Just do whatever works for you. For me personally, my favorite place for church is up on top of a mountain. I love gathering like this too. Absolute privilege. But find out wherever you connect with God, wherever that is, individually and corporately, and keep the momentum going. Then we as righteous people, people made right with God through Jesus Christ, not through our own doing, we're then able to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord and trust Him in every area of our lives. I recently watched a film on the life of the football player Ronaldo. It's on Netflix, if you've got Netflix, if you can stream where you live. And some say he's the best footballer in the world. Personally, I don't support any football teams. I do enjoy the game. But some say this guy Ronaldo is the best football player in the world. The man in the world, listen to this, with the most likes on Facebook. Well done, Ronaldo. Over 100 million friends. Imagine that, it'd be a big church. Over 100 million friends this guy has. But in summary, the film concludes that in reality, 100 million friends in the virtual world, in reality, he couldn't count all his real friends on one hand. What does that say about the virtual world, which so many of us dedicate our lives to? The wee sayings in there, one-liners we saw, OMG, SRS, SMH. Some of you may know what those mean. I had to Google some of them. OMG, that would be a cry of our hearts. Oh my God, please help us. Help us, Lord, to get this balance. Help us to put you first. SRS, are you serious? Are you serious? Is this the way we're living? And SMH, shaking my head. I think that's what the Lord's doing. He's just standing there, just going like this. Look at these guys. 4 years of their life they spend. 4 years looking at their phones. 4 years. Unbelievable. John 3, 16 and 17 responds to the empty cries of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but would have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. If you're feeling condemned tonight, that's not the Lord. That's one of the enemy's primary tactics. But that the world might be saved through Him. The seed is the word and the voice of God. It's the gospel message that Jesus came to die for our sins and the instruction of God for our daily pursuit of His will and His righteousness, His purpose for each of our lives. Again, right from the youngest to the oldest. The seed isn't just what God has accomplished in the past, but it's for the purchase of our souls. And it includes what He continues to do today, even tonight, sitting right here in our lives by the power of His Holy Spirit. The seed of God's voice is a frail but very powerful force that will always produce a fruitful harvest. It contains the ability to transform broken lives. Before I came to Christ, as I'm sure many of you, my life was totally broken. Totally, totally broken. And after I came to Christ, some of my old friends who were still not believers, they didn't even recognize me because even physically I changed so much. That's how God transforms, by the power of His Spirit, through the blood of Christ. The seed of Jesus, when planted into the depths of our souls, has the power to redeem and to rescue lives. Rescue them from eternal damnation and separation from God. Personally, I am no theologian, but I think God plants His seed into every person from day one. From the first day we enter into this world, that seed lies there dormant, waiting for us to respond. The choice is ours. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 summarizes this very well. He has rescued us from the dominion of the power of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom He loves, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. If we don't have a revelation of this, or if you have friends, family, enemies who don't have a revelation of this, we need to ask God expectantly to reveal it afresh into the depths of our soul. Why? Because then we will hear the voice of God, we will know the direction of God, and more importantly, we'll know that it's Him speaking very, very, very clearly. As we watch that testimony there, we could see she's ready. This is it. Yes. Brought me back to the day of my baptism. Please, let's get in the water. Come on. Let's do this. I want to die to self and be born again in the Spirit and the power of God. What is one of the main ways of getting this revelation? Through His Word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says it very well in a one-liner. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'll say that again because it's the Word we're speaking. We're not reading a textbook. Living and active. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, I don't have faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Say it again and again. That's just one wee snippet from the Word of God. Let us in faith and in the power of God's Holy Spirit confess this living and active Word over our lives, over our households. Let us take the time before it's too late, before our hearts become harder, to unplug on a regular basis from the digital networks that aggressively drive our lives and plug into the One who knows all. Plug into the One who knows all. His Word has the power to set us free to follow Him and accomplish His will. It has the consistently powerful ability to get right into all the stuff in our lives which we think often, Lord, You don't know that area of my life. He knows every area of our life. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's wombs. We need to offer it to Him afresh. It has the consistently powerful ability to transform us for His power, for His glory, if we let Him in, if we listen, if we wait, and then if we act. Verse 6 of Psalm 4, many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity that the light of Your face shine on us? We're nearly finished. The words of the psalmist remind us today that God's seed is but one voice in our lives. But there are many other voices, other potential detrimental seeds that can be planted in our lives and in our souls that will produce a crop that does not honor or glorify God. What seeds are you and I planting in our souls today? The psalmist implores us today, we need to tremble before the Lord, decide before the Lord in His power, not on our own, and in our sin, know that the Lord will hear every single time we call to Him. And so as we draw this short word to a conclusion, let us pray that the Lord can wake us up to the fact that the world is full of so many different voices pulling us in so many different directions. What does He do while we are doing our own thing? He just waits. He waits for us to wait on Him. The only voice that matters and the only voice we must tune our hearts and minds to is His. Listening to and acting on His instructions, His voice, His words, will give each of us to call who call on Him ongoing breakthrough, ongoing perseverance, ongoing power through ongoing submission to the truth of God's Word, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This will be obsolete in a few years' time, believe it or not. The Word of God will never be obsolete. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you don't remember anything else from this evening, please remember this. The Christian life is very, very straightforward. We are either living our way or we're living God's way. There's no gray area. We're either living our way or we're living God's way. It is as simple as that. We overcomplicate it. I have to repent on a daily basis and say, Lord, please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for shouting at the wee ones, haven't even had my coffee yet, or I'm sorry for doubting You in this situation, I'm sorry. But that's what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for honesty, so we can live His way, and not our way. I end with a very short story of a friend who many years ago, when I was at Bible college as a young believer in Christ, I used to watch her. We used to have times of worship in the morning, and she used to worship, you know, one of those people you just really just like, you just think, hang on, what's going on here? This is a bit OTT. And after a few months, instead of going up and criticizing her, because I was a young believer and I felt a little bit uncomfortable just about her kind of enthusiasm in worship. And she was young, small, petite little girl, young woman. And I just said to her, I just want to encourage you that your worship is an inspiration and an example to us all. And her reply was, if you knew the very, very difficult times that I'm going through, you will know why I worship God as I do. She was calling out to God. I want to say what situation she was going through, but the worst of the worst. But that's what the Lord wants us to do. In our dark times, He wants us to call out on Him. And I finish with this word from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. I'll just read that one more time. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. It is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen.